Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. On Sunday's program, I mentioned a book that I would like to mention again. It is a full-length interview, that is a book-length interview, with Robert Cardinal Sara, who is from Africa. He figured prominently in the Synod on Marriage and Family Life. It is a full-length interview, as I said, that I really want to encourage you to read. It's entitled God or Nothing, and it's available from Ignatius Press. That's San Francisco, California, if you want to go online, or any reputable Catholic bookstore will carry it, entitled God or Nothing. One of the reasons I found it quite readable is because it's in interview form, and so you can read a question of the interviewer, and you can read the cardinal's answer, and you might want to read a number of them, but you could also just read one. You could take 10 minutes or so and just read one question and one answer at a time. But I think it's going to give you a scope of understanding. Here is a man of very, very deep faith and a marvelous intellect. And I think you really want to pay attention to it. So the title is God or Nothing by Robert Cardinal Sara, S-A-R-A-H, pronounced Sara. It is a conversation on faith, says the subtitle, and it certainly is, God or Nothing. As we now begin this first full week of Lent, I've been speaking about the need to grow in faith and hope and love, the need to grow in gratitude, the need to get equipped so that you can withstand whatever difficulties come against us. The book of Leviticus today, chapter 19, verse 2, and then verses 11 to 18. The Lord said to Moses, "Speak to the whole assembly of the people." Speak to the whole assembly of the people, of the children of God, the children of Israel, and tell them, speak to the whole assembly. Speak to everyone. He says to Moses, Moses is the leader, speak to the whole assembly and tell them, be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. You know, in a certain way, holiness, yes, it can come out in pious speech and pious actions, yes, all of that. But the essence of holiness is to desire union with God and to live as close to Him every day as you can. So that no matter what circumstance you're in, whether it's at work, whether it's in your own home, whether it's in church, whether it's in a meeting of some kind, wherever you are, what begins to happen is that you who think about the Lord, who pray, who pay attention to what God says, who take the commandments and allow those commandments to really form and shape your life, doesn't mean you have all the answers, but you're in the right place where God can reach you and God can speak to you. Then you grow in holiness. You just do. Because when He has more room in you, in your body, your mind, your spirit, when the place is more His, and He can be heard in a certain way through you, you become holy because you become like Him. Yes, we can do certain external things that can help us, that can call our attention to what our priorities should be. Absolutely. We make use of all of them. But the essence of it is that I want to be identified with Christ. I want to do what He does. I want to say what He says. I want to think as He thinks. I want to act as He acts. That's the work of the Holy Spirit. That is the work of the Holy Spirit. Welcome the Holy Spirit in your heart. Be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. That's what He's telling us. Not, you can't be perfect. not this side of heaven. But what we can do is to imitate him, to follow him, to seek to be with him, to spend time with him, to allow his priorities to become ours. You shall not steal. So God gets very specific here. You shall not steal. You shall not lie or speak falsely to one another. You shall not swear falsely by my name, thus profaning the name of the Lord your God. You shall not defraud or rob your neighbor. You shall not withhold overnight the wages of your day laborer. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block in front of the blind. But you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. Fear means reverence, to put him first. That's what it means when Scripture uses that term, you shall fear the Lord. It means that you put him before yourself. You shall not act dishonestly in rendering judgment. Show neither partiality to the weak nor deference to the mighty, but judge your fellow men justly. You shall not go about spreading slander among your kin, nor shall you stand by idly when your neighbor's life is at stake. I am the Lord. You shall not bear hatred for your brother in your heart, though you may have to reprove him. Do not incur sin because of him. Take no revenge. Cherish no grudge against your fellow countrymen. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. You could take Lent and spend it on any one verse of those verses that I read here. Look at it, seriously. What is God asking of you this Lent? I will ask that question a number of times during Lent, and you might say, oh yeah, this is important, oh yes, that's important, and suddenly you've got a whole list of things you have to do. No, no, no. Two or three at the most. Take the inspirations you have, take them to the Lord and say, Lord, what do you want me to focus on? What's most important? If you're married, ask your husband or wife. If you have good friends who'll tell you the truth, those are the good friends, ask them, what do you think? What do you think I need to grow in? Be amazed sometimes at the answers. Psalm 19, your words, Lord, are spirit and life. Your words, Lord, your words are spirit and life. And notice what it says at the last verse that's quoted here of Psalm 19. Let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart find favor before you. Notice, let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart, they need to be one. No lying. No lying. Let the words of my mouth and the thought of my heart find favor before you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Let us offer to God that kind of praise, that kind of worship. And the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 46. Jesus said to his disciples, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, and all the angels with him, he will sit upon his glorious throne. All right. He will sit upon his glorious throne, and all the nations will be assembled before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will place the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. And then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. And then the righteous will answer him and say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? Brothers and sisters, we could do that today. We can miss him in the faces of the poor and the needy of whatever variety. We can miss him. Don't miss him. When did we see you a stranger and welcome you, or naked and clothe you? When did we see you ill or in prison and visit you? And the king will say to them, reply, Amen, I say to you, whatever you did for one of these least brothers of mine, you did for me. And then he will say to those on his left, depart from me, you accursed, into the eternal fire, prepared for the devil and his angels, for I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me no drink. A stranger, and you gave me no welcome. Naked, and you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, and you did not care for me. Oh, brothers and sisters, please don't live your life that's going to result in that, in Jesus saying to you, you did not serve me. Ask that your eyes be enlightened. Really. There's spiritual vision as well as physical vision. Let the eyes of your heart be enlightened as well as the eyes, the physical eyes that you have, to see and to hear and then to respond. So often people are just dumb. We're dumb. They will say, Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or stranger or naked or ill or in prison and not ministered to your needs? And he will answer them, Amen, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, you did not do for me. That goes right to my heart. It really does. That goes right into my heart. So I don't want to miss him. As one person said, in the distressing disguise of the poor, I think it was Mother Teresa, the distressing disguise of the poor, how easy it is to miss him. Dirt, filth, sickness, bad odors, how easy to walk away. But there he is. Christ himself dwells in the hearts of the poor, and frankly, because they have almost nothing else to depend on, they're more easily drawn to the Lord, and the Lord is more easily seen through them if you really look. Many times the poor have so much to teach us, because the reality is, in some of them, because they've gained a great wisdom in their suffering, for some of them, Christ really is dwelling in them and working through them. And sometimes we who have so much and think we know so much, how strongly is his image and likeness seen through us? How much do we recognize him in the distressing disguise of the poor? That's a test. That's a test of how close we are to the Lord. Do we see him? Do we find him? Do we minister to him? Brothers and sisters, let this Lent be lived in such a way that it changes your life, not only for this Lent, but it changes your priorities. Something shifts in you. Something changes in you, and you can never go back. I pray for you that may happen to you during this Lent. May God's abundant blessings be yours. Brothers and sisters, I have a new booklet on the mercy of God available to you. It is entitled The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. I really urge you to read it. You can access it and receive it free by calling 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. The Mercy of God and the Joy Repentance Brings. God bless you.